Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you know how patient God is? That's a good question to think about, consider today as we hear the text from the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 20, the parable of the vineyard we heard today. It's the parable of the vineyard, although I think we might be able to rename this parable today to the parable of the patient planter. May we listen and rejoice today at this parable and how exceedingly patient God is who sent his son Jesus to die for sinners. Allow me to walk through the parable again today with you. A man planted a vineyard. We should understand that this man is God the Father. The man then lent out the vineyard to tenants, meaning the people of Israel, God's chosen people of old. The man then went away for a long while. Thus the history of Israel from the time of the patriarchs to the time of the prophets. When the time came, the man sent a servant, a prophet, to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard, which I take to be the fruit of faith, the righteousness of God that comes by faith. God wants there to be faith on earth, so he comes to collect and see if there's any faith in his people down below. Is there faith? Just as Abraham believed God and God credited to him as righteousness. The fruit of faith. And also, I think, the fruit of love. God wants love to be on earth. He wants the love of God to be in man. So when he comes back to earth, he wants to know, is there any fruits of love? Are people loving God? Are they loving neighbor? The fruits of love. But the tenants beat the servant and sent him away empty-handed. The people of Israel, in the parable, the tenants, since the beginning have repeatedly rejected those whom God sent, God's servants, the prophets. The people of Israel were sinful, and they wanted it their way. They grumbled against God, they grumbled against the prophets, they grumbled against Moses, they sought other gods and kings of their own, especially when the prophets prophesied against the people for being fruitless. And when he, the man in the parable, God, he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And yet he sent a third. This one they also wounded and cast out, the text says. Now, we could stop right here and note what? That this man is very patient. How patient is this planter? In the parable, this one man, the vineyard owner, sent not one, but three persons. This is a reflection of the true nature of God. God is patient with his people, Israel. Even in their rejection of him as their God, even in their rejection of him as the owner and giver of the land they live upon. Also reflected here, I think, also a little bit, the Holy Trinity. One God, the man, and yet three persons are sent, a threefold witness of the reality of God, one and three. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." Now, who might this son be? That's the real key point of this whole parable. When you hear it, whom do you compare the son of the man? Could this son of the man be the son of man? The one prophesied in sacred scripture to come into the world? Or was the world still waiting for another? Or did the world stop waiting? Kind of like our world today, huh? Is anyone waiting for God to come and collect the fruits of faith and love? Were the tenants of the vineyard waiting for someone different, some take charge, impatient king? Or did they come to reject God as the king altogether? Who is the son of the man? Of course, we know who the son of the man is. We believe that the Son is our Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son, the same whom we heard at his baptism and again at his transfiguration not long ago when the heavens opened and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Do you recall when Jesus asked the disciples a question? He said, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter responded, "Well, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets." And Jesus says, "Well, then who do you say that I am?" And Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so he is. In this parable of the vineyard, the son of the patient planter is the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. The parable continues. "But when the tenants saw him, the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours.' And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." This is a very good, a very quick, a very impatient summary of what Lent is all about. This is why we and all the world should repent and lament of our sins that led to the cross and death of Jesus. All sins show how self-centered and how greedy the world is. We want things our way. We want it all. Even the deed to the property. We want our name there, don't we? Above all, we want liberty. We don't want anyone telling us how to live. We don't want anyone telling us that all the good stuff in the vineyard really isn't our stuff. It belongs to another. But the scriptures teach us patience. Declaring independence from God is not true liberty. It's actually bondage and slavery. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." Freedom to sin means slavery and bondage. It ultimately means death, for the wages of sin is death. However, to be under God means true freedom. Freedom from sin and death. Freedom to live eternally. Only in Christ Jesus, the risen one, is there a promise of true liberty. He came to bring liberty to the captive, release to those hemmed in by sin, sickness, and death. In him is freedom from death. But if we, like the tenants of the vineyard, reject the Son, then when will we have liberty at all? Will we know freedom? The Son is a gift from a patient planter. First, three servants, then his Son. "Receive my Son," he hopes. Perhaps they will respect him, my own flesh and blood. But what our forefathers in Israel didn't receive during Jesus' life and ministry, may we all today, now in Jesus' death, receive from him in his death and in his legacy. You see, even after the world of sinners killed the Son, God, being patient, still offers the world life and liberty, not through the law, but through the death of his own Son in our place as our substitute. God patiently says, "If you didn't receive him in his life, then please, please, please receive him now in his death. You must receive him in his death. This death is for you. Repent and believe. There's still time." What a patient God. That's some patience. That's a God who truly wants us to be his own and will even lay down into death's lap to get it. He comes down to earth and joins us in his baptism. He patiently gives out the Son's broken body, now under bread that we break, and the blood that we drink, the wine made from a vineyard, combined with his word, for the forgiveness of our sins. He patiently does this so we can taste and see that the Lord is good, so we can have freedom and taste it. We can have life, have it abundantly, so we can again dwell with him in paradise. Oh, how patient God is to keep sending and sending his prophets, sending one after another, then patient and sending his own son living, and then sending his son dying for our transgressions. Finally, to send him alive again to give us hope for an eternal relationship with the patient planner in paradise, our Father in heaven. Yet even though God is patient, let us not ever, ever take this patience for granted. Listen to the last part of the parable. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them who rejected and killed the son? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." We have here a final warning, and also, I suggest, a hidden show of God's mercy and patience in this final part of the text. First, the warning. There's a time in our life, in our finite lives, when we must either join him who is infinite and patient, or we perish, broken to pieces. To reject the Son is the worst thing anyone could do, to reject the very gift of God. There were many prophets, but there's only one Son. There's no second or third Son to send. There's only one Son. No second Messiah. Only a second coming. The parable teaches in this last part that the planter will give his vineyard to others, those who receive the message of the cross and the rising of God's Son. If not to those first to whom he promised it to, then to others who will honor him by bearing the precious fruits of faith and love in Christ Jesus. Secondly, now, the word of mercy and patience here. Jesus relates the Son to a rock, a stone, which becomes the cornerstone of a great building. Patient as a rock, you might say. This rock doesn't intend to kill anyone, but many will die because of it. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Notice it's not the stone's fault, but the person who failed to believe it, and they fall on it. They didn't recognize the stone, they fall, they're broken to pieces. But note that if the stone falls on anyone, the person is merely crushed, not dashed to pieces. Here again we should say, how patient and merciful God is. For when the law of God comes to us, the knowledge of the law, for example, the Ten Commandments, it can crush our conscience like a hammer or like a stone. It falls on us, it crushes, it hurts. Ooh, I'm not doing the will of God. But we live. The falling on us and the crushing of our head or foot prompts us to bow down and repent, or turn back to God for sorrow for our sins. It's what Lent is all about. The stone falling on us, however, doesn't kill us. The crushing weight of the law doesn't break us to pieces. It just reminds us of who we are and what we need the most. And what we need the most is the gospel. We need the stone that the builders rejected. This is the cornerstone of our faith, the cornerstone of the building to which God is building us into as his church. In John chapter 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Through Jesus' death and resurrection, the fruits of true faith and true love sprout up on earth. Sinners then repent and believe. Sinners receive life. Sinners begin to love as they truly should love and bear fruit for God. Sinners then proclaim his mercy to the nations and say, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. They say as God's ambassadors, come and enjoy this vineyard that God has given us. But recognize the cornerstone. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See that he sent his son to save us, to build us into a new house of Israel for God, a house that bears fruit by believing in him who died. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the foundation of our life with God. God has patiently endured with us, that we might also patiently endure all things until the last trumpet calls and we are all called home. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Any fruit? The parable teaches us, yes, he will. He will where the Son has been received. Wherever sinners receive the Son and bear fruit because of him, may the Lord keep you patient in bearing fruit until that great day. Patient like him until life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace and the patience of God be yours in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen.